This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For almost my entire life, the GOP, the right in this country, has been just as open borders as the communist left. If you are a moderate Democrat, or maybe a Democrat who doesn't really believe in communism, but it doesn't really matter, the truth is you are now held hostage by the demonic Democrat voting base. Communists lie about everything all the time. They are always lying at all times.
The governor of California does not like the First Amendment.
Okay, before we get into all the Supreme Court happenings of the world, let's do something that's heavy, but something we believe in on the show. We honor the fallen, certainly the fallen who die in training. They don't get any recognition, but we just lost the United States Marine, Marine Lance Corporal Armando Ortiz Canseco. Somehow, some way, don't know all the details yet, went off the edge of the USS Anchorage and has been declared lost to the deep. And he signed up to serve his country, served his country. He lost his life for this country. 21 years old, and he deserves to be remembered for his sacrifice. So rest in peace, brother. Okay, now to the story of the day that has everybody up in arms and probably you up in arms, the Supreme Court decision. Supreme Court came out today, decided 5-4, that, hey, anybody who has a baby here, the baby's automatically a citizen. No matter what, you can trip across the border from El Salvador and crap out a kid, and he's just as American as you and me. Okay, let's skip past all the obvious stuff about how absurd this is and wrong, and it's not what the 14th Amendment was about and all those other things, because I know you're already mad. You don't need any more help from me to be more angry. So let me give it to you in two different ways. First of all, I'm not going to lie and say everything's fine, that this is okay. It hurts. We have to win a lot of battles in order to save the United States of America. Some are more important than others, and this was an important battle. This one hurts. It definitely does. It hurts. However, I just want to let you know this. Before we go to Alex Sawyer and we'll get to all the legal details and things like that, all the nuance about the whole thing, I want to tell you something that it may be comforting, you may hate it, but it is most definitely true. I am 44 years old. For almost my entire life, the GOP, the right in this country, has been just as open borders as the communist left. We really haven't had an America First movement in this country for most of my life. Open borders, fire every American, bring in some H-1Bs. These illegals should be given amnesty. This has been really the GOP position for most of my life. Recently, the America First movement has risen, and Donald Trump, he does deserve a lot of credit for leading this movement from the beginning. Yes, the America First movement has risen. Americans finally catching on to the game. They're finally rejecting all this foreign influence. We want our country back, but we are in the infancy stage of the America First movement. You see clearly what we have to do and what needs done. It will be done. Eventually. It will not be tomorrow, obviously. It won't be next week. It won't be next year. But we will slowly but surely take the country back because we are just beginning. All right? Now let's talk to Alex Sawyer about this. Well, Alex, I would love to say that I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised because you have sat there and informed us this crappy decision was coming for a very, very long time. So I guess as sad and upset as we all are, I'll give you so much credit for that. Joining me now, of course, Alex Sawyer, editor-at-large of The Washington Times. All right, Alex, what happened today? Is there any light at the end of the tunnel for getting this thing turned around? Just give it to me right between the eyes.
Okay, so I think that the bright side is you and I talked previously that the court did give the Trump administration some immigration wins. One is with the asylum claims. Basically, arriving at the border isn't enough, or you know what constitutes being in the United States for your asylum to be heard. That was one thing that will help limit and alleviate immigration judges for the administration. The other one was TPS. The executive branch gets to decide when those are ended and ship those people out. So that was wins. Here, of course, the big birthright citizenship loss. I think at this point, given that the direction the court went with the majority opinion authored by Chief Justice Roberts, is that it would really take a constitutional amendment to do anything with birthright citizenship. There are some senators who have, like Senator Rick Scott, for example, has proposed legislation that would curtail the birth tourism industry, basically saying those from foreign adversaries can't utilize surrogacy laws, basically to exploit our birthright citizenship status that we have in America. That doesn't have very many sponsors. You would think that would be a bipartisan issue that, you know, a foreign adversary wouldn't be able to exploit our immigration laws. So hopefully lawmakers can come up with angles like that that might be able to alleviate this birthright issue. But squarely on the whole issue of illegals being here and then having children and then being deemed citizens, the court, essentially the majority opinion said, based on the founding common law, when we won independence from Britain, the individuals in the states were deemed citizens. So going all the way back to there, that's where the Chief Justice Roberts traced this. He said the same was true for how they ratified the 14th Amendment. And there you have it. It's very, you know, we knew this was coming. It's kind of, if Justice Kavanaugh's concurrence, his opinion there, was the majority, it would have given, I think, Congress a way to pass laws that kind of tweak the Immigration and Nationality Act, which would have helped basically support the president's executive order. But because the court went so far as to basically say the birthright citizenship executive order violated the 14th Amendment, it's going to take like a constitutional amendment. They kind of strapped the lawmakers' hands.
Okay, so let me ask you more of an opinion question. I understand all the legalese of, well, it's back to the days of the British and all the other dorky crap that guys like Roberts use. I understand all that. But why did they make this decision? Is this just, everyone knows what the 14th Amendment was about. I mean, my children know what the 14th Amendment was actually about. It's basic U.S. civics. So why make a decision that's so obviously incorrect? Is this just Amy Coney Barrett, John Roberts, and then the communists not wanting to upset the apple cart? Well, this is the way we've always done it.
I think that there's a longstanding principle with someone like Chief Justice Roberts, and you know, really, I guess Amy Coney Barrett falls into this too, of not wanting to reverse precedent. It's very surprising when the Supreme Court, with them joined, does so. I think I'm thinking about, you know, the Roe v. Wade decision, Dobbs, that reversed abortion and sent that issue back to the states. That was kind of a shocker. There's been others that, you know, it's like they want to kind of come up to the line but not quite cross it. So I think maybe it's that they're institutionalists. They don't want to see the court get too political here. But yeah, you know, I think that one of the key issues that was brought up during oral arguments that I think you and I might have talked about was when Chief Justice Roberts kind of referenced the China and how many companies they have that exploit our immigration laws. And John Sauer, the U.S. Solicitor General, had answers to that. I think it was like 500 or so that they were able to find. And that's kind of from Peter Schweitzer's work that he's dove into. And the Chief Justice was like, well, you agree that that's not part of this case. It's hard to say, like, how is that not part of this case? When our surrogacy laws all of that are being utilized specifically because of birthright citizenship, you know, it's hard to kind of turn your head to that. I think that the way Kavanaugh wrote his opinion, kind of leaving the 14th Amendment issue out and just kind of going off of statutes and like what the Congress could have done, would have been maybe a better route for the court to go and kick it back across the street. But they, you know, they went a little bit further here.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like from you, it doesn't sound like even if we get a decent Congress, which that's never happened in my lifetime, but let's say we accidentally trip and fall and get a Congress that's not full of scumbags. Can they pass any kind of a law to stop all this craziness?
Well, so like, I guess the whole thing is the issue here is birthright citizenship in terms of illegals who are here and, you know, what happens when they have a child. They could, that was decided. That said that, you know, the executive order violates the 14th Amendment, that basically when you are here, you are subject to the jurisdiction thereof. So for me, in my opinion about what lawmakers should do, it's basically this legislation that could curtail the use of our laws at this time. There's already some pending, right? They already have it. I'm surprised there's not more bipartisanship sponsoring something like even the foreign adversaries angle I mentioned. Short of a constitutional amendment, I don't see how they can squarely address this birthright citizenship issue. And, you know, I think that would take the states. I have no idea what you could motivate Congress to do. Think about the mail-in ballot issue that was just issued yesterday. There's been talk about what can you attach to the Save America Act? Can you address the mail-in ballots and how they're counted days later, which the court allowed again in a loss to the Trump administration? Could you attach anything here with proof of citizenship? That's also an issue that they're going to address next term, they've said, out of Arizona in terms of what states can do to require proof of citizenship to register voters. So, you know, I'd hold my breath, Jesse. I don't think that Congress will do anything. Like, think about what's happening with Save America Act right now. So to ask them to do or try to scratch their heads and address what they can, you know, get around here, I'm not confident.
All right, let's move on to a win because I'm getting sad over here. We did have a win today with this West Virginia case. What's this about?
So there was West Virginia and Idaho passed laws that said basically, go figure, you have to be a biological female to compete in girls' sports. That was challenged by transgender athletes, both out of West Virginia and Idaho. And they argued that this ran afoul of federal law, equal protection under the Constitution, that sort of thing. Well, the Supreme Court, with an opinion that was authored by Justice Kavanaugh, said no, you know, Title X, I think it's Title IX, was basically meant to protect girls' sports. And it protects essentially non-discrimination on the basis of sex in education. So we're talking about high school, secondary, middle school. The one out of Idaho was college age athletes. So they are allowing states to go ahead and pass these laws. I think there's about a little over two dozen states that have similar legislation that would protect girls' sports and say only biological females can compete. So biological males, whether they're transitioning to a transgender female or not, would either have to compete with boys or in their own league. So this is a major win for conservatives who have been pushing this issue, trying to protect our minors, for example, from, think about the case last term that said states can pass laws that ban transitioning youth. That was a big win. This is similar in that vein, that states can go ahead and pass laws that protect girls' sports from transgender athletes.
All right, Alex, finally, we have more opinions coming at some point in time in the next term. Are there big ones? I'm assuming there are big ones.
So I just referenced to you that there's a case out of Arizona where the state basically had a form that talks about proof of citizenship. And the lower courts had ruled that that was, they did away with that. So it was basically saying a state can't require this form with the looking at their voter registration. It was also having like the Secretary of State going through voter rolls and looking for this type of issue, the citizenship issue. So that's going before the justices. I think that will be pretty big just today. And I haven't had a chance to dive into like all of the cases, but they're going to take up the issue of AR-15s. I know that there's been a lot of like Second Amendment activists that have been watching that issue, like what the court would do with that. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot more to come. We never know some of the biggest cases until they're granted, even like after the justices return in October. I sometimes think of like tariffs. You and I talked about that kind of came later. You know, we will see.
We will see. I guess we'll have to leave it at that. Alex, it's a dark day, but thank you. I appreciate it. I have hope for the future. I have hope for the future because you're going to stay involved. You're going to stay involved and you're going to have the energy and the mood to stay involved because you're going to be taking your natural herbal supplements from Chalk. Me personally, I want to stay involved. I'm ready to get more involved because I've been taking a male vitality stack for 4 years. My T levels are through the roof. We have free falling testosterone in the country. You have to reverse that trend proactively. You can't sit around hoping for the best because we're drinking synthetic estrogens. We need to fix the problem. Don't jam a needle in your arm. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV. They have things for women. They have things for men, young, old, whatever you're looking for. The finest natural herbal supplements on the planet can be found at chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. All right, so there's a couple things I just wanted to touch on really quickly as we move forward. And it's kind of a yin and yang, good and bad, about what's happening inside the Democrat Party. First of all, we'll start out with the bad news, and then we'll finish with the good news. The bad news is this. Are there relatively moderate Democrats in elected office? I'm sure. But I don't know, and neither do you. Because the truth is all politicians anytime you find a country where the people get to elect their leaders, the politicians generally have to go the way their voters want them to go. So if you are a moderate Democrat or maybe a Democrat who doesn't really believe in communism, it doesn't really matter. The truth is you are now held hostage by the demonic Democrat voting base. You are. You don't have the option. If you're a Democrat running for governor, city council, running for president, you don't have the option in your primary to try to sound reasonable. You don't have the option to say something nice about America. You don't have the option to praise capitalism or anything like that. Your voting base, the Democrat voter, the average Democrat voter, is now so insane, destructive, evil, and demonic, they are going to demand that you deliver destruction to them. This is Dome talking about 2028.
We absolutely have to explore what we need to do because of the Supreme Court and what it has done to destroy so many of the elements of the Constitution that were designed to protect, in particular, the minority, those who were marginalized, including expansion of the Supreme Court. And yes, I absolutely believe that we should be exploring that. And the idea of 13, I agree, because there are 13 circuit courts, 13 justices. I think that we should be looking at statehood for Puerto Rico and DC. I think there's a lot of work that we need to do, including considering an expansion of the court. Yes.
Well, since we're there, what about the Electoral College?
I think we need to look at that too. Yes. Yes, I do.
Does Dome believe those things? Supreme Court, packet, get rid of the Electoral College? Oh, I don't know. But the truth is, she does understand this, as dumb as she may be. She has no shot at winning the Democrat nomination for President of the United States of America unless she says those things. These are the positions on issues she has to take. That is hugely damaging for the country because now there's no such thing as a reasonable Democrat. Now, that's all the bad news. Here's the good news. Scott Wiener, he's been an LGBTQ demon mob activist for a very long time, using his elected office in the state of California. Non-political people won't even know who this person is. You undoubtedly do know who this person is, but you name the commie issue, he's there. You show up at a gay parade in California, he'll probably be wearing leather chaps, you know, in front of your child. He's one of those types of people. But Scott Wiener and so many Democrats like him, I don't think they understand exactly what they have nurtured and created.
Scott, I think your legislation on trans issues and your legislation specifically protecting queers on the sex offender registry is fantastic. Like, I really applaud you for that, and I think you deserve to be here for that. But I think your housing policy, and specifically your housing policy aligning with YIMBYs, and I think your
policy,
and I think your policy on the genocide in Gaza, and I think your policy on the genocide in Gaza is terrible. I think you belong here. You do not belong here. You do not belong here, Scott, anymore. Wonderful. You've been wonderful for trans people. You've been terrible. And you've been terrible. You've been terrible. You've been terrible on Gaza. You do not belong here anymore, Scott, and it breaks my heart.
That's going to happen a lot more going forward. I am so, so sorry, Dr. Frankenstein. Is that monster you created causing problems for you now? Man, that's a crying shame. Couldn't happen to a nicer group of people. Peer Talk's for nice people. Peer Talk is for patriots. We are like 5 minutes away from celebrating the 250th anniversary of the United States of America. It's birthday season, in my opinion. It's time to dump your big wireless carrier because you don't need them. Pure Talk's on the exact same 5G network, so you're not going to give up any coverage. You are most likely going to save money, and you most definitely are going to start sending said money to a company that actually praises and loves your country. Pure Talk is run by a Vietnam veteran. Two tours with Mac V. Sog in Vietnam. Pure Talk honors our veterans. They honor the country. You never have to worry about waking up one morning and finding a pride flag on Pure Talk's social media account because they're all about you and the red, white, and blue. Go switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. We've talked many times about this, well, this little statement. Communists lie about everything all the time. They are always lying at all times. And there's a couple different reasons for this. The first, how could you do such a thing? Yeah, you've told lies in your life. I've told lies in my life, and I've never once bragged about it, and I don't want to talk about it. And when I think about it, I think to myself, that wasn't my finest moment. But communists do not share your morality. This can be very difficult for decent people to understand because communists look just like we look. They have eyes, ears, a nose, hands, feet. They're flesh and blood, just like us. They're not okay with lying. No, they are. In fact, they are trying to lie at all times. How do you justify that in your mind if you are a communist? Well, you are serving, if you are a communist, in your mind, a higher purpose. You have a higher calling. You see, to a communist, everything around them is evil. Everything. The government, the church, the family, every single thing in society is evil, and that evil must be destroyed. And like a country fighting a desperate war, when you are trying to destroy the height of evil, anything and everything is acceptable in that pursuit. That is how they lie so easily. Now, there's another part of this, because so often the lies come from the communist elites, you know, the Democrat elected representatives and Chi-coms and all kinds of corporate commies and things like that, media communists. The lies come from them. What's the angle here? What's the game? Well, you know, one of the greatest things when I used to sell RVs. You know, one of the greatest things is when I was selling an RV that was awesome, that well-made, well-built, because I didn't have to be pushy about anything at all. I could call a customer who was looking for this and say, hey, Bob, get down here, man. I've got exactly what you're looking for. Great, exactly what you want. I don't have to push. I don't have to massage anything. I don't have to sell. I don't have to say 10% off if you sign today. None of that stuff is necessary because it's just awesome. But what if, and I, to my recollection, I don't know if I ever did this, but what if I was trying to sell a gigantic piece of crap and I didn't have any morals whatsoever? Well, I have to lie. No, best thing I've ever seen. Well, great price. Well, this thing will last you a lifetime. You have to lie. Communists are selling a piece of crap. People don't want to buy, even most Democrats, your liberal Aunt Peggy, they don't want to buy the destruction of everything they hold dear. They don't want to buy that. So you have to lie to her. And if you lie to her about enough things, you lie to her at all times about everything, because your liberal Aunt Peggy is stupid, the Democrat in your life is stupid, mentally unwell, deranged, they buy lies easily. What will happen is, in the end, the Democrat in your life will live in a world entirely of make-believe. It's like a movie set, only they don't know they're on a movie set. They think it's real. The windows are fake. The fridge is fake. The oven doesn't even work. The door leads to nowhere. But because those walls are constantly being reinforced by communist lies, she believes it. They do this with these. Joe Biden, as soon as he was elected president, the communists around him immediately began being proactive in importing as many foreign barbarians as they could. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a whoopsie. They didn't trip and fall and leave the gate of the border open. They used your tax money to create an app so foreigners could schedule their invasion into your country. We actually flew on your taxpayer dime foreigners into the country, and then your taxpayer dime flew them around the country. As fast as they could, they brought them into the country. But that's a hard sell if you're a Democrat, so you had to say this.
Have you made a final decision on taking executive order in terms of what you want to do at the border? That includes the power to shut down the border, as it was suggested.
Well, it suggested that. We're examining whether or not I have that power.
Do I have the power to shut down the border? I mean, look, remember, he knew at this point in time that his people had opened it up. He knew they were coming in mass. Okay, Mr. President, can you close the border? Hey, man, look, you know what? I'm going to have to go through my notes. I don't know if I even have. Of course he knew he had the power. He knew exactly what the people around him had done. You can't sell that, so you lie. And now the Democrat Party, on this issue, on immigration, they remain unbelievably unpopular. You know how they're always polling different people on different issues? They'll go out and they'll poll the general public. Who do you trust on crime? Who do you trust on the economy? Who do you trust on immigration? And honestly, those numbers fluctuate. Did you know right now, I know this is insane, that the country trusts Democrats on the economy more than Republicans? I know, look, we don't have to go into it. It's crazy, but they do. It fluctuates. Democrats are so underwater on immigration, it's frightening. And they see all these poll numbers. The public doesn't trust them anymore. So if you're a Democrat, you can't act like, well, we did what we could on the border. We fought as hard as we could. We tried to control it. We did a good thing. You can't sell that. So what do you have to sell? You know you did evil. You know you brought in 20 million barbarians. You know you went a long way to destroying the country. So what do you sell? A mistake. That's what you sell. Hey, I didn't stop at the bar and have 10 beers on the way home from work on purpose. You see, I got a flat tire. I helped a little old lady cross the road. I had to take her into the bar to get her some help. And look, it was just things got away from me. That's what guys like Mark Kelly are doing on the news to this day.
I think it's also fair to say created a crisis at the southern border.
Biden did, with how he handled the...
Yeah, the Biden administration did a bad job at the border.
They did a bad job. Not deeply evil. Not did it on purpose. Makes it sound like, that they move some things around. They lie about everything at all times. They lie like they breathe. The subject of voter ID is actually fascinating. It's an amazing one. Democrats can read poll numbers too. They live for these things. They are aware that they are on the wrong side of an 80-20 issue. 80+% of Americans believe, you should have to show ID to vote. Otherwise, You could cheat. It could be illegals voting. Yeah, 80%. In a representative republic like ours, that's a no-brainer for a politician. You have to take the 80% side on that issue. But communists can't afford that, because if you have to show ID to vote, the Democrat Party gets completely wiped out and really ceases to exist in the United States of America. What do you do about that? You just lie.
He torpedoed the bill because he wants another bill signed.
Yeah, right.
And it seems to me no one wants to sign this bill.
Doesn't have the vote.
It doesn't have the votes. And so he's trying to push it and do all kinds of, it's ridiculous. It's the bill that would force people to have ID when they come to vote.
Nobody wants it. Everybody wants it. But you have to lie about that. Temporary protected status for Haitians and Syrians has been in the news. Supreme Court came out and said, actually, we can deport these people. But I think it would be beneficial to rewind a little bit. Barack Obama was president at the time. He was president when this whole TPS thing came about. Remember, these people have now been here for 16 years. How was it sold at the time?
Lastly, as has been widely reported, yesterday I signed the order beginning or for the process of TPS status for Haitians already in the United States. This is a kind of an intermediate immigration status that allows those who are here to remain and to work. And as they work, of course, many send remittances back home. This in and of itself is a form of support to Haiti and a form of economic assistance to Haiti. To qualify, you must have been in the United States before January the 12th, the date of the earthquake. It will be good for 18 months from the date of the issuance, so that will be in July of 2011. So for Haitians in the country who were here before the earthquake, we are now opening up the process of TPS, that intermediate immigration status for you.
18 months. Be good for 18 months. 16 years later, those people are still here, and the entirety of the communist machine in this country is freaking out trying to keep them here. They just lie about everything all the time. And that's why your liberal Aunt Peggy is trapped in that world of make-believe. All right, enough of that. We'll do a light in the mood. Next.
I mean, Trump is triumphed 24-7 on these grievance networks. They come in and they're hardwired. I watch, look, you got the Daily Wire, goes to the California Post. California Post goes to the New York Post. New York Post goes to, you know, the Five. The Five goes to the lineup of the primetime news hosts, all three of them.
Goes right to the Oval Office.
Goes right to the Oval Office. And then we got Fox and Friends. And now, and then you got this guy, Chris Rufo, one of the great, you know, greats in the Manhattan Institute. And they write all these things. And it's this sort of circular ecosystem, the sewer that has a presidential seal and gold leaf now.
Yeah.
Drain, no swamp. With respect, you know, I don't see that on MSNBC. You're a contributor. I don't see that on MS.
Right.
I sure as hell don't see it on CNN.
Yeah. There is,
I don't see it anywhere.
There is no infrastructure left.
So like how do you compete with that, man?
You build it.
It's wild how easily these people lie. Joining me now, Katie Zachariah. I'm going to have to read this because she has a new title, Senior Communications Advisor for True Social. Congratulations on that, Katie, for one. Two, well, I don't know what the opposite of congratulations is, but I'm sorry you have to live under Gavin Newsom.
Wow. Well, I've debated Brian Tyler Cohen, who was the guest on Gavin Newsom's show right there, a number of times on CNN. And I love that he says there's no ecosystem, because he's actually very much embedded in the ecosystem. He does podcasts, gets hundreds of millions of views interviews Gavin Newsom, Barack Obama, and they all spill over into CNN and MS Now. He was a contributor or commentator for MS Now for a long time. So what Gavin Newsom is talking about and what he's, you know, relaying is really they just don't like that there's an alternative form of media that is becoming more popular and is calling out the grift and the lie that has so long been the left-wing media, that finally President Trump went against the media. We didn't go against the media for a very long time, but he took a bat to the media and started calling out the fake news. And the more troubling component here, though, is the governor of California does not like the First Amendment. And that is what he's saying. That's the quiet part out loud. And that's exemplified in the fact that his attorney general's wife, who is a state assembly member, has introduced a bill called the Stop Nick Shirley Act. And that is the state attorney general's wife. So this is an ecosystem to silence exposure of fraud that they want to take care of. And Gavin Newsom also doesn't like the First Amendment because he spearheaded the silencing of millions of Californians during COVID, literally wanted to put masks on our faces and silence dissent. He was complicit in deplatforming President Trump off of what was Twitter under Jack Dorsey. So this is just him trying to say, I don't like the First Amendment. I don't like disagreement, but I'm going to just call out the news organizations that embody the First Amendment because I don't like what they have to say. It's so gross, Jesse.
Katie, speaking of fraud, Gavin Newsom and his wife, his lovely bride, they are in a bit of legal trouble right now, and the Californians I talk to tell me this is significant. It has a potential to be significant.
Yes, significant, and they love to evade the questions. And again, what does Gavin Newsom do best is point fingers at President Trump and claim that he's a victim, except that one of the cases which is investigating his chief of staff, who was funneling money to the now gubernatorial candidate, Becerra's dormant account, and was essentially hiding this money for herself. That investigation started under whose DOJ? Not President Trump's. That was under Biden's DOJ. And so the investigation now for Gavin Newsom came out of the Sacramento Attorney General, the Eastern District for California. And this was not a Trump organized or Trump spearheaded campaign against him. There is enough evidence of fraud, both in his wife's nonprofits and gender films that are being flushed into the California school system that are just actually pretty grotesque and disturbing. You know, portraying an ideology that is very disillusioning and not really embodying the California thinker or the California electorate. They want to just mass indoctrinate people on their gender ideology. And these fraud claims are valid. And so he's going to have to be held accountable for this. I also think it's why the DNC is starting to move away from Gavin Newsom and maybe, you know, entertain Kamala Harris again.
Okay, we have to touch on that. Dome surely cannot be the nominee again, just for how much she angered the donors last time. $2 billion blown in Democrat money. Surely they're not going to go down that same road.
Well, who are they going to run? Are they going to run AOC? Which candidate do they have? Because part of the Democrat Party is splintering off into the radical Communist Party. And we're seeing that. And the establishment Democrats, you know, the Chuck Schumers, the Nancy Pelosi's, the kind of the old guard of Democrats don't know what to do with this splintering. So which candidate pool are they going to pull from? The AOC? Or are they going to pull from Kamala Harris is safe. She's controllable. She might have angered the donors, but maybe they think she can win against a J.D. Vance or a Marco Rubio, which she can't. But I'd like to see them try. It would actually benefit us for 28. It would make another easy win.
Yeah, it sure would. Okay, I want to go back to Gavin Newsom because he went out there, put out this stupid little video calling for a billionaire's tax. Here he was.
It's time for a national billionaire's tax and a new social contract. Think about this, just 10% of people, 10% of people in this country own 2/3 of the wealth. a 30-year-old, for the first time in American history, is not doing better than his or her parents. That's a five-alarm fire. American wages have stood still, and the costs across the spectrum, cost of living, have skyrocketed. The system is fundamentally broken. The federal tax code, the corporate tax code, and the inheritance tax code seem to be written for a different set of Americans. It's time for an economic reset, a true minimum tax, a true minimum tax on billionaires that, well, ensures the people at the very top pay at least the tax rate their own workers pay. We also should end this tax-free lifestyle loan. This is the gimmick that allows the ultra-wealthy to borrow against their stock portfolios while reporting no taxable income.
Katie, you know what I hear when I watch that video? I hear the Mamdani effect. You reference the radical communists taking over the Democrat Party. That's what I hear when I see this stuff. It looks like a hostage video to me.
Looks like a hostage video. Look, Gavin Newsom was telling the entire country, I am not for this billionaire's tax. I don't want the billionaire's tax. This is a Ro Khanna thing. This is a Ro Khanna driven idea, and I don't like it. Now, what is he doing? He's doing exactly what Gavin Newsom does every single time. I called him out a number of times on the news. I said, Gavin Newsom says he doesn't want this. He 100% wants it, and he's seen how it sticks with the California voter, and he's using Ro Khanna to peddle this out. And now what happens? You know, he blindsides everybody because he's such a hypocrite, and he knows exactly what he did. He knew he supported the billionaire's tax to begin with. And Gavin Newsom would be very, look, we just have our gas tax just went up. If Gavin Newsom actually cared about the working American, the working class citizen of California, he would eliminate the gas tax or at least make it comparable to the rest of the country, because that actually hurts the working American more than it hurts anyone else. And yet he does not want to do that. And what else did he do? He vetoed a bill that gave firefighters, which are desperately needed in California, he vetoed a bill that gave them a very de minimis raise. Because why? Because Gavin Newsom actually doesn't care about the working class firefighters. He doesn't care about the working class Californian. What he wants is he wants to justify why he gave, you know, billions of dollars of our taxpayer-funded healthcare to criminal illegal aliens in this country or in this state, and now has bankrupt the system, and he needs to fund that system that he now bankrupt, Jesse.
De minimis. I'm going to figure out what that word means, and I'm going to use it today. Thank you, Katie. I appreciate it very much. De minimis. I have no idea. Lighten the mood next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood, and I wanted to let you know, congratulations. It is June 30th. It is the last day of June. And of course, the communists have tried to label this thing Pride Month, but maybe you noticed, maybe you didn't. It's been a little bit more muted. The reason it's been more muted, the reason corporate America turned the volume down on it, is you have spent your time raising your voice in the past. We've effectively whipped these people, and we will continue to whip them. Nevertheless, if you are one of the people who celebrated Pride Month, a big salute to you.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
About something about a comedic tone.
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.